Welcome to Accounting High.
Why am I so busy? Why did I say maybe? Nah. Let's have a discussion. Let's start a discussion.
Have you ever had something that you said yes to that you turned around and changed? And but something you have to back out of?
Well, I mean, I guess I would say, can we do personal? I mean, I had a boyfriend at the time that wanted to get more serious than I was ready to get.
Really personal.
And I was like,
if it's not a hell yes.
I'm doubting myself. I'm like, no. And the reason why is because I realize how much I value my freedom.
May I have your attention, please? I repeat. May I have your attention, please?
This is another public service announcement brought to you in part
by Accounting High.
The views and events expressed here are
of the next generation of accounting and tech professionals leading this space.
Welcome to Accounting High. Whether you loved high school or you hated it, here we're on a mission to set our own traditions. Here's your chance to be a part of an unforgettable experience redone. So sit back, relax, and open your mind because class is in session.
Anything else?
Yeah.
So without further ado, introducing the star of our show,
Scott Scarano.
We're going to have a problem here.
Hello and welcome to a roving report at Accounting High. Welcome students, welcome faculty. We have some distinguished faculty with us today, and today we're not going to talk about new opportunities or doing new things. We're going to talk about doing less. We're going to talk about how more is less and how we all need to probably say no more to opportunities and to things to further our own agendas and goals. Because we are all busy. We live in a very busy world. What I'm going to do is introduce everybody, and we're going to talk about the things and opportunities in your life that maybe you should think twice at saying yes to, or ways that your schedule is getting too busy. I did a rap yesterday about saying no more, so that's what kind of sparked this conversation for our mental health and for our own sanity. So let's introduce our panelists today. We have Melanie.
Marianne.
Already. Marianne. Fisher. Right?
It's still yes. Fisher, though. Yes. Yep.
100. Michael Sue. We've got Enrico Palmerino, and we have
Queen Elizabeth Manso.
Oh, awesome. So we'll start with Elizabeth. Where are you from?
Miami,
Florida. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what's something in your life right now that you maybe have said, you did say yes to, that you regrets after saying yes to something? Or
I'll say, not too recently, but a client that I thought we would be able to do that's outside of our tech stack. And when we said yes to it, I brought it into the team, and the team was going crazy with that client. And I ended up having to have a hard conversation with the client and finding them an alternate solution to working with us. So I did regret it, but as soon as I found out I made the mistake, I fessed up to my client and I found them a better solution.
Pleasing people pleasing. In the end, a lot of times, I think it's us and our fears of what they're going to think of us, and we say yes. I think this was something you guys just had a session and you talked about a specific example, but saying yes to everything for the client and things not being in your wheelhouse.
Riches
in the niches. Yeah. Yeah. And knowing what to say yes to. When you know what to say yes to, you should say no to everything else. And exactly. It only causes more burden on your team and more burden on you to take things on. Enrico, you're a real busy person. How do you know what to say yes to and what not to say? I mean, what to say no to with all these opportunities?
ROI-based.
ROI-based.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily know what's the ROI of something until I've done it, but I use that as a data point to learn from. So one thing I used to say yes to all the time was conferences. I fly around. I think I spent 3 or 4 months away at conferences and travel 1 year and sleeping on a plane. I think it was like 39 nights. It's like a lot. After that, now the bar that I set for like what conferences I go to has been raised. So, you know, which ones are actually returning to me both the most value from a business standpoint, but then also personally, which ones do I like to go to? Are there people there that I'm going to have fun with? And
is fun an ROI?
It is, totally. It's like there, it's a moment. Like it's something that I get to see people, I get energy from people, and there's conferences that I have amazing times with and amazing connections, and you never know where that goes. I mean, I said yes to a ski summit. I made that like a thing. I always did the ski summit at the cost of other things, but I met Michael there. So, yeah.
So, yeah, and it's the connections that you can make at these, but that's still not telling me how you say no. Is there any opportunities that came across that you immediately said there's no ROI for this?
Here, the ROI was just lower. So, for instance, something I would have probably said yes to in the years, my school, college, reached out to me and said, hey, it's this, like, major, you know, inaugural, it was a 100-year anniversary. We'd love for you to come back and be a keynote, tell your story, judge a contest, be a part of the celebration. I was just like, to fly up from, you know, St. Pete for a day when I look at my schedule and travel and everything else, like, I'm going to say no to that. I need to spend time with my family. It's just a trade-off. I'm a people pleaser. I have a hard time saying no, but I've gotten better at just being like, there are certain things I prioritize and what's going to give me the most ROI, not dollars necessarily, but life, family, business.
Yeah, and priorities, keeping those priorities in check. So it was ROI and family. So what can lead to future gains monetarily, you know, in business, but then also what keeps you full and whole, your family?
The best is when the two can combine. So there's, you know, business experiences where I can take the family out and I can have like business meetings or do something, and then also get this, like, what's cool too is I think it's like a learning experience for my kids where they get to see dad doing these things or meeting these people or having these experiences. From a business standpoint, you know, I just look at it as, you know, how much time, how much money did I invest? Those two things are things I have a finite amount of, and what did I get from it? Did I feel like reward internally? And that checks that helps replenish the time bucket. Did I get reward monetarily, which in itself buys more time? And so, yeah, those are, but it all depends. It's all proportionate to the time and the amount of money that I have to put into something.
Michael, you have some big goals, big dreams, big things going on. You live in multiple places across the world. You travel, you came to this event, among many other things. How do you determine what is worthy of your time?
Such a loaded question, but I mean, it's just saying, it sounds cliche, but it's what I follow. It's a hell yes or a no.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And my company right now, that's the company behind CFO Club, which is Measure and Hack. We talked about this, right? It talks a lot about resources. Three resources in life: time, money, and energy. You talk about ROI, right? Essentially, that's what it is. Does it give me more money? Does it give me more time? Does it give me more energy, right? Because all I got is 168 hours a week. All of this, all we've got is 168 hours a week, right? You take away 8 hours of sleep, 56 hours, right? You
take away, sleep is very important.
Yep. You take away, you know, 40 hours of work, you're down to 72 hours. 72 hours for everything between going to the bathroom all the way up to spending time with your loved ones, right?
Eating.
Yeah, eating.
Fitness,
yeah. Movement, hobby, right? Like something so mundane and so small all the way up to something that is so important, right? That's, and we always say, if you ask anybody, it's like, what's the most important thing in your life? What's the most important aspect?
Family.
Family, right? What's the most important aspect?
Family and friends.
Family and friends.
Mm-hmm. You? Family and friends.
Family and friends.
Freedom.
Freedom, mm-hmm. Right? And then you look, your 168 hours, and we kind of joke, I track time. I track time for 10 years already, every 30 minutes increments,
mm-hmm.
Right? How much we say is family, but if you look on your calendar, is it really family? Does it reflect that, right? And then the whole idea is being intentional about it. The whole idea is being trade-off. There's always trade-off. We're trading time, money, and energy for each other all the time,
mm-hmm.
Right? We're deploying it into personal relationship and business. That's the three aspect of the me triangle. And it's just a give and take. So unless it's moving me closer to my goal, you talk about how I have so much aspirations,
mm-hmm.
Right? Does it get me closer to my personal goals of being healthy and being fit and being happy? Does it get me closer to my relationship goals of having better relationship, better experiences? Does it get me closer to my business goals of taking my company to $10 million and $20 million, right? And if the answer is no, that's what it is.
Really? How do you define your personal goals?
I think I prioritize what is the biggest priority, and family and friends, 100%. And then I look at what is the goal, and I set that goal for the year. So do I, you know, my family, they don't live by me. They're all out of state. So when I look at how do I spend time with my family, it's how do I prioritize my vacation time, my work schedule, my travel time. And so oftentimes I am lucky I get to travel, and there's times that it intertwines with family. And to your point, like when that happens, it's special. So when I look at prioritizing those goals around what do I want to do, it's also taking in that personal goal. So you have your career goals, your personal goals, and intertwining those together to see how they can match each other. And I look at it at the beginning, my birthday is December 31st, and I feel like it's just the perfect time to just kind of take that step back and go, what did I do the last year? Now I'm a year older. What do I want to accomplish? And really trying to put that all together.
Perfect time to reset the year.
It is.
Set your goals, mm-hmm. set your priorities too.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that you'll set a goal in the beginning of the year and it changes throughout the year?
Yeah, because I do think there's some things that are out of your control, especially, I mean, if we look at career, right? Things change, things are evolving, roles change, responsibilities change. So I think when we look at those goals, like overall, where do we want to be? Where do I want to be December 31st of the next year? But when we look at the overall vision of that, what does that vision board look like? You spoke to that mm-hmm. earlier today. I love that mm-hmm. in the vision board. And even if you are going through evolution and roles change or your responsibility changes, your vision is always on what's that next thing and how can I take what I'm being asked of me mm-hmm. to go, all right, but this is, it's broader than that. There's a bigger picture of where I'm trying to get to.
It's almost like your North Star. You have a North
exactly.
Star. You don't know how you're going to get there, but that's
yes.
your North Star.
You know, mm-hmm. and you know there's going to be changes and evolution through that. Yeah.
It's that it's funny how business translate into personal, right? Like if you use the example of Southwest, what's their whole thing, right? Like freedom to move about the country. Mm-hmm. So any decisions that comes to the table, like, well, does it help us? And their X factor is wheels up.
Yep, wheels up.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you come up and say, hey, I think we should serve snacks on this flight. And the question the CEO was, does it help us with our wheels up number?
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
the answer is no, then
no.
it's a no.
Yep.
And
simple.
For life, it's the same thing.
So let's talk about vision forward a little more and determining that vision. On the early days, how do you articulate that vision to others?
So I work a lot with, I'm good with visuals. So I put an actual vision board with, like, it's like a collage type of thing, and I put slides to it. So if you look, a vision board's probably not the best thing just to give to somebody and have them interpret it themselves because it's my vision that I see. So I do present it to them, and they see my vision through the vision board. I'm in the process now, actually, of refining that process, because everything to me in life is a process. And now I want to build my vision board and then put the words, document the words to it, make it 3 or 4 pages. I read The Vivid Vision from
Cameron Harold.
Yes. And now that's my new thing for fourth quarter, is build my vision for the next 5 years for my company. So kind of putting the visual that I like, and then putting it into words, articulating into words.
So one thing he talks about in The Vivid Vision is articulating that and mm-hmm. talking about it. And the more you talk
yep.
about it, the more real it gets.
Correct.
To others around you. So have there been opportunities that have come to you
yep.
because of
yes.
articulating that vision?
Absolutely. And I spoke to it here at the conference in 2018. I created my vision board for the next 5 years. We were a very in-person team in an office. We were a team of 15. And I was just very frustrated with the very manual process. You know, we were typical bookkeepers. I used to call us like input monkeys. We were just a bunch of input monkeys. And I'm like, I
steal that.
I know, that's great.
You steal it, please.
Don't be input monkeys.
No, I'm like, well, I said it much more aggressive. I put more aggressive words to it. But yeah, I definitely know more. I don't want to be an input monkey anymore. And I created my vision for the next 5 years of decentralizing first and foremost. Second of all, leveraging technology. And back then, I just went on the internet and just found like a network icon that's just connecting like computers together and things. I didn't know. I was just coming. It was just like, I want this. This is what I want. We had people in my Vivid Vision board working in different places of the world. Like one's holding a kid, one's vacationing with their spouse, and they're just having a good time all over the world and still working with me full time.
You've made that part of your vision.
I made them part of my vision, yes. And mostly for selfish reasons, because that's what I wanted. So I created the vision that I wanted, genuine to myself,
And I presented to the team. I also wanted real-time accounting. I'm like, we can barely make the financials out by the 25th of every month. Like, this is ridiculous. How are we not doing this earlier? And so I wanted real-time accounting, and I presented it to my team in 2018, and they looked at me like I had three heads. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm putting that away. And at the same time, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm a little bit disappointed, but I do have this vision, and at some point, I'm going to pull that thing out. And what happened, the pandemic, March 2020, my team's looking at me, Elizabeth, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm going to say, I know exactly what we're going to do. I pulled that vision. I'm like, this is what we're going to do. And they're like, well, how are we going to do it? I'm like, that's how we're going to figure it out. But that's the ultimate goal. And we did everything. So the house figured themselves out. I just needed to present the vision, and they started doing the execution part. Yes, I gave guidance, but they were the executors. And then at the end of the day, look, 5 years, 2023, my vision is complete.
And
well, it's getting better. It's actually better than what I thought.
When they understand the why, they may not question as many of the other decisions that are made afterwards.
Right, but they also need the buy-in.
Yeah.
So that is very important.
Yeah, understanding that why and defining it. Enrico, you have a very vivid, expansive vision. You have an 8-year vision that is starting to come to fruition. A lot of people working for you that are executing on that vision, how do they know what to say yes to, what to say no to? How do you determine that in a complex organization like this, with a complex vision like yours?
So, you know, I think it starts with communicating your vision and writing it down and setting goals. And it starts with in 10 years, here's what we want to look like. Then we work back to 5, 3, and what's at the end of this year, and what are we going to do and accomplish this quarter? And if you start to show people how this quarter's goals are building into this grander thing, it starts to, like what you were saying earlier with Elizabeth, like people start to tie out the why they're doing something right now. From a decision-making criteria, like the best thing we can do is set company values, right? So our team, like communicating those values to the team often, making sure that people are living by our values, that's the thing that says that, hey, like not everything's black and white. Like ask yourself in this case, does this, you know, am I caring about my client or the colleague in this situation? Is this the thing that if I were to like look back on, I would say I cared? If not, then that's probably not the thing you should do. If so, then do it even if there's a cost associated with it. So it's, yeah, communicating consistently, repeatedly. It's, you know, like I said, working back on that vision. And the beautiful thing, and like to Elizabeth's point, if you're gonna set a grandiose vision, you can't do it by yourself. Like it's just like, there's no such thing as self-made. Like people love to say self-made.
Well, it's the limiting factor. The self becomes the limiting factor if other people are not involved.
There's no one's story that you want to hear who's self-made. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
If you are truly self-made, you haven't done anything that's changing society, that's drastically impactful, because the old saying, right, it takes a village to move a mountain. I want to hear about mountains being moved. I don't want to hear about anthills.
Even Eminem needed Dre.
Yeah, Eminem needed Dre, for sure. So, yeah.
Michael, what is your North Star?
So, I didn't know we were going to get into vision. Otherwise, I would have grabbed my backpack. Because in my backpack, there's this sheet of paper. And it's got my three pillars, three sides of a triangle. And it's got my 10-year goal, 1-year goal, what I'm working on. And the funny thing is, my 10-year goal on that sheet is next year. It's 2024. And on there, I spell it out vividly. And one of the things that I said was, I travel the world. I wrote this when I was 30. I travel the world and I have friends from all walks of life in every area of the world. And how do I know they're my friend? They will have no problem inviting me to their house and stay with them. And for the last 2 to 3 years, that's what I did. I lived with my former mate in LA for 6 months. People are like, you're an adult, and your roommate.
Expand on that former mate. Is it EO?
Yeah, it's an EO thing. Yeah. So it's like my small group, entrepreneurs organization.
And so your forum, and that's expansive as well. Continue. I heard.
Forum. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my other, he's an ex forum mate now. Like he was in Vegas. He sold his company last year, bought $1 million house. Now selling it for $2 million. Just bought a $3 million house. But here's the kicker. They just bought it. They just went into escrow. And him and his wife calls me and go, hey, when is the next time you're going to be in Vegas? And I went and they said, hey, you got to pick a room. I get to pick a room. And someone else, another grown man, found a $3.5 million room. And guess what I did? I picked a room. I went in. And I looked at all the rooms and I say, hey, I want this one. It's got the pool view. It's next to the gym. It's perfect. And you know, his wife is hilarious. His wife goes, great. That room, we're going to have the same grade of upgrades as the master bedroom. All the other rooms, we're going to keep it cheap.
I love it.
And you have a home.
I have a home. I have a home in Vegas. I have a home in LA, right? I have a home in Texas.
St. Pete.
It's St. Pete. Mm-hmm. I love it, mm-hmm. right? I have a friend, this is Josh Jeffries. I was in Miami, and he was trying to convince me to stay for his wife's 40th birthday. He rented out 3 yachts. And he goes, I will rent you a room for a month, right? He was like, I will rent you a room at the Four Seasons for a month, just so you can stay for the party. Mm-hmm. And 10 years ago, when I wrote that, I didn't know how I was going to do that. Right? And that was one book, and I can show you after this where I can pull it out. Well, don't read it in detail because I get embarrassed.
But you shouldn't get embarrassed about that. That's part of
the journey.
Your vision.
Right.
It's embarrassing at first.
But it was personal.
It's going to sound embarrassing.
It's personal and it's grandiose, right? Like, I think one of them is like, I made 3 CEOs, right? I haven't quite done that yet. It's just like, oh, instead of me being a CEO, mm-hmm. I made 3 CEOs. I'm the kingmaker type of stuff. There's like other stuff. Some of them I hit, some of them I didn't. But I was surprised, positively surprised how close, how I actually I looked at it. And people always make fun of me, my buddies especially. I get really emotional about this. And I go, I can't believe, I don't know. Like, who? I don't even want to invite myself to my house for more than 3 days. It's like, and they let me stay for weeks on at a time. And Kenny lets me stay there for 5 months. He actually knows Candy. Jay actually knows Candy. I was staying there for 5 months. People are like, what, you're just living with Candy? I was like, yeah, I'm homeless. I go around and I tell people I'm homeless. People think I'm joking. No, I'm legit. Homeless. Right. And the funny thing is, I have a place in Taiwan. I actually have a house that I own in Taiwan and a house that I own in Austin, which I actually bought. I bought for my mom.
But you're never there.
I don't live there. Yeah. I live in everyone else's houses. So,
your home is nowhere and everywhere.
Right.
And I'm so lucky. Part of your vision.
I'm so lucky and so blessed. Mm-hmm. I'm so lucky and so blessed, and it's... it's incredible. Even till today, you ask me how I do it. I don't know. But I think I always knew that was my North Star. Mm-hmm. And everything that I did was like, you know, like, for example, like, if I want to build that type of relationship, and I just got a house in St. Pete now, apparently, right? Like, when you ask me, like, how would I behave to be able to earn that trust? How would I behave to be able to... you know, it isn't like straight, like, oh, ROI. Like, I come to this conference, I'm going to make $100,000. It's not that. But you don't ever know in 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, a relationship of a person.
You're planting seeds.
Yeah. I didn't know if I was going to meet you.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know we're going to do the whole CFO club in the Kalian High thing.
It's going to be dope.
Right.
And you knew what to say yes to. That wasn't even a question when we talked about it.
Because it got me closer. Because what did I want to do? My vision was, I want to spread the whole CFO club thing. I want to elevate the entire profession. I was talking to Elizabeth about this, right? I want to elevate. So I knew exactly, hey, you fit into that vision because we're producing content. We're driving the same goal, right? Hey, you fit in perfect because you're exactly the target audience.
The theme for 2023 for Brigade is Elevate Up, by the way.
See?
Elevate Up.
If you have a vision and you see something that's along the line, you know, then it's a hell yes. But if you never have the vision, you're not sure. I don't know. Should I do that?
Right.
Should I go? Should I do that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is it right? I think that's the...
Sometimes it's just going with your gut, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like maybe you don't know what the outcome is, to your point.
Right.
But, like, you go with your gut and say, you know what? I just, for some reason, I feel like this is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an example of that? Going with your gut?
Yeah. I mean, in my previous job, you know, I didn't do public speaking. It wasn't something I did. And they asked me to do it. And I'm like, give it a try. Give it a shot. You never know. 6 years later, somebody reaches out to me and says, hey, I saw you at this conference. You made this impact. and I thought of you because this person is looking for somebody that you did exactly what you talked about. And it's like, 6 years ago, I didn't know. Like, how do you know? You don't know. You don't know what that impact's going to be, right? So those are the, you just kind of go with it. And you're like, yep, it just works, you know? And it's sometimes it's just figuring that out. And then 6 years later, you're like, wait, that was part of the vision. But at the time, I didn't realize, you know, that was fitting into that, like, North Star type story, right?
So fitting in and having that vision means when you do start speaking, you're going to have to clear other things off. How did you determine what to eliminate in order to be able to be that speaker for 6 years and to have that impact?
Yeah, it's funny because when you do start speaking, like, it's a challenge, right? Like, you're bringing new content, you're bringing information, you're building your content, you're building you, your brand, right? And it's a challenge to you, exactly. So not only is it like the work of building the content and making sure, hey, I've got the presentation, but you're building yourself, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like teaching yourself stuff. So there is a part of priority. Like, if you're asking me to do this, it's kind of reminding your leadership team, like, you've asked me to do this. This is not something I do every day. It's new to me. It's a challenge. So therefore, you've also got me doing these things. So what are, you know, if I were to take something off the plate because you've asked me to do this, what is it? And it's, I think it's working together. I also think, you know, like having, we talk about, you know, accountability buddies with like fitness and working out and other aspects of our life. But I think there's also that part too of when you have the vision and you're going towards the North Star, like, who's that accountability buddy that kind of knows, like, all right, this is what you want. This is the path you want to go down. And who's kind of keeping you honest, right? And so that also is a part of it, because you have people, you have friends, you have family that are going to kind of question, like, does that fit into that path that you want? And I think that's important too when you look at priority.
And it's okay to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Once you jump into it and mm-hmm. you realize this is not it, mm-hmm. you're totally okay to be like, oh, that's not what I thought.
I mean, recently this summer, I got invited on like an awesome trip to Europe. Mm-hmm. My initial reaction was no, because I had spent three.
Is that your gut?
Yes, because and this is where the accountability buddy came into place, because I had spent 3 months on the road for work. And I had been in hotel after hotel, airplane after, and like, I wanted to go to Europe really bad, but my gut was telling me, like, I just want to be home. Like, I hadn't been home in a long time. That's where a buddy comes in and goes, wait, you told me you want to go to Europe. You want to spend time with friends. Like, so it was like, that's the part of it that, like, when you're looking and having somebody that's like, all right, they're keeping you, like, yes, you have to do your work, but at the same point in time, your family and friends.
Did you go to Europe?
I did.
Awesome.
It was amazing.
Okay, good.
But like that's, yes, and it should have been.
But because of all of
the other priorities and all of the other stuff that was going on, the initial reaction was no. And that's where your buddy comes in and goes, wait, but that doesn't match what you told me was important to you.
Have you ever had something that you said yes to that you turned around and changed? And reneged on or like, I can't do this. That's something you have to back out of, basically. An opportunity. This is like the same question I asked.
Yeah, I know. So I'm trying to. Well, I mean, I guess I would say, I mean, we're going to go personal, right? Can we do personal? I mean, I had a boyfriend at the time that wanted to get more serious than I was ready to get.
Really personal.
And I was like,
no, just straight. I was like, if it's not a hell yes.
I'm doubting myself. I'm like, no. And the reason why is because I realize how much I value my freedom. So as an entrepreneur, it's like I'm used to having my freedom, my autonomy. And, you know, I've been married before. And I know, like, what that means, or, you know, like, moving towards that means that I just wasn't ready at that time. So, yes, I mean.
You said yes, but.
No, I said yes to the, you know, relationship of being, you know, just boyfriend and girlfriend. But once he started talking about moving in, and I'm like, no.
You're not part of my vision.
No, I'm like, you're not. No, that's not part of my vision.
You're a boyfriend.
I'm the boyfriend where we live in two separate places. And why do I want to live in two separate places? Very simple. I love my me time. I value my me time. I value my time with my daughter, who is 17 right now and very soon going to college.
Enrico, do you have any regrets of things you said yes to and followed through with?
So, like, I try to live my life on a philosophy of no regrets, right? Okay. Like, I like to look at everything and say it served a purpose or had a place.
Yeah.
So there'll be things that I don't do again, but I don't live in a world of regret. I look at it as, had I not done that, I would not have had those experiences, learned those things, gained this level of insight. This other thing would not have happened if I hadn't been there at that point in time or met this person. So no, I would say, you know, for the most part, there'll be things I do differently going forward, but nothing I look back on and spend any time regretting.
There's power in regret or in reflecting on something that you potentially could frame as, I wouldn't do this again. And if you do reflect on that and you recognize it, then you know not to make that scenario, but understanding that there are things that we can regret.
So what I'll tell you is there are times where I've said, oh, I regretted doing that.
Yeah.
And then...
Let's hear an example.
So you might know this story. So I started a business in college, got some traction. I think I talked to you about this story. Got some traction with the business, started to take off. One of the first things I do, I like cars like Michael. So I bought a BMW M3. The business took a little bit of a turn. I needed cash, sold the SUV I had, kept the M3. I live in New England, by the way, so not exactly the best decision. Couldn't afford snow tires on it, so didn't put those on. Let the insurance lapse when it lapsed. It's like, I'll get to it later. And then went on to crash it on like a February night because I hit black ice on the way home. Totaled the car, no insurance to claim on it. You know, got injured, missed like a ski event. And I was just like, I totally screwed this up. Fast forward, weeks later, I buy a car. The woman that sells me the car goes on to be the wife and, you know, mother of my kids 12 years later. So you could either live in a world of regrets and say, I would never do that again. Or you could say, you know what? Like, it served a purpose. Would I try to repeat that exact same situation? You know,
no.
Now I'd probably keep my insurance. Maybe with the SUV, but I don't spend the time. I don't like it. There's regret, and then there's just learning from things.
Yeah.
I learn from a lot of things. Like, one of our values in our company is continuous improvement, always trying to get better. But there's no value in there that says spend time focusing on your regrets so you don't repeat, because you never know what one of those things is that in the moment, like, I think life works in mysterious ways. In the moment, it could be a regret. And that regret could turn into one of the best things that you've done. You could buy a piece of property that you're like, I got totally hosed on this, or we moved, and like, we're not even using it anymore. It's just a cost. And then Amazon puts its headquarters in that town 10 years later, and that piece of property is worth a fortune. Like, you never know what that is. So that's the way I look at it, is I learn from a lot of things, but I waste no time on regretting things.
You also wouldn't have your CMO out of this opportunity too, right?
Correct. Yeah, I would never have met Jessica.
Sister-in-law.
Yeah.
So
that's an amazing story.
Freaking crushes. Yes.
I was trying to tee up that story, but this was the one that...
Yeah, so
that's an amazing CMO. Story.
There's so many other, like, yeah, connections, relationships, yeah.
But it's a big one. I mean, these are things that, you know, we can't rewind and do things over. And if you could have rewound, you probably would have done it the same way, because it led to that outcome.
Yeah, but here's the problem with the regrets, is in the moment, like, usually when you're having that regret, it's so soon after something's happened that you might not know the outcome of that action. Mm-hmm. So,
and it clouds your decision-making process.
It could totally cloud your decision-making process going forward. So just like, let some more time go out. Let's see how things happen, and then see what magical things might have come from these decisions that in the moment you were like, I totally regret this. But then you can be like, I learned so much from that. I made these connections.
Yeah.
These things happened that I could have never predicted. And if you were to go back, you may repeat it. But in the moment, like, this is why, like, I waste no time on regrets. In the moment, you might have gone back and done something differently, and that could change the course of life forever. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in a positive way.
Michael, on your road to 50, are you going to make another 10-year?
You're getting old.
I know, man.
Piece of paper. Do you incrementally change this one that's going to be 10 years?
And yeah.
Do you have another 10-year North Star?
I do. I got a mic. Yeah, I do. Do you want to hear about it?
Give it to us long enough for, you know, the not 10-year version, but the not the 10-mile version.
I'm trying to get into a 9-figure club.
Been clarify, what's 9 figures again?
100 million.
100 million?
Yeah, 100 million, yeah. I've been lucky enough to be able to run a few businesses that are always in the 7, low 8 figure, but I've never had one 9 figure, and I think it's just next level. Like, I see my friends, they act different, they think different, they move different, they're just on the next level. And I bang my head against it, thinking, like, how do I do that, you know? And that's what I'm doing right now. So I associate myself. I'm really lucky. My new venture is with an entrepreneur that's got 2 9-figure exits. So he's been there and done that. And it's the first time that I have started a startup where I'm not the lead. I am learning. I'm the student. I'm the, right, he's the Mr. Miyagi, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm the young grasshopper. Yep. Yeah, and it's just incredible. It's like back to learning again. Yeah, it's back to learning again, and I'm terrified about it, you know, but I'm excited about it, you know, and again, from there, it's just, we were talking about scotch, right? Yeah. And I think we can do that to a certain extent nowadays, like, for example, oh, let's fly to New York and do this, so that's about... I'm not at the level, and Rico probably is nowadays. Throw me under the bus on stage, say I called you like small business, but he's probably at the stage now to be like, hey, let's talk. If we're talking about scotch, and imagine, go, what are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. Well, let's go. You know, let's hop on.
That's a hell yes.
It gets harder when you have kids. Right. You might have the monetary.
I'm not gonna name him because, you know, I don't want people listening to this knowing him. But we have a friend. He was talking with his buddy about cigars, and he was like, "Let's fly to Cuba." And then when he was moving, he moved from somewhere in the East Coast down to Florida. He chartered a plane to fly all his red wine and his cigars down. I'm just like, what? Like, how is that why is that even a thing? Like, you think moving, you think like U-Haul. You don't think like, yeah, I'm going to charter a plane and then make sure the plane have the right fridge so I can transport my, and the right humidor so I can transport my cigar. And like, those are movie level stuff. And I'm,
hey, those are priorities, right?
Yeah. So hell yes, right? And then he's the nicest guy in the world. On my way out, he like grabs, he's like, "Hey, you want a Cuban?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, "Hey, he just flew in from Cuba yesterday." I was like, "I guess that's normal for you, but thanks." To me, it's just my life is very simple at this point. It is, I want to be happy, and I want to make sure those around me are happy. And I have this crazy vision that I was sharing with him. Doesn't matter if it's a CFO club, which is my grand mission is to free 1 billion entrepreneurs to live life using systems and data. To free them from the day-to-day, the work, the monetary, all that stuff, so they can have the time and the energy, you know, to be able to do the things, right? Using systems.
Million with an M or billion with a B?
Billion with a B, yeah. Hence the CFO club, because like you said, I can't do that by myself. I can't do that. So, but with the CFO club, yeah. If I can bring in 1,000 or 10,000 CFOs and each of them can now help, you know, 1,000, then that just keep, you know, that's the whole idea. That's the next 10 years. How am I going to get there? I have no clue, but I'm talking to all of you and I'm asking to be a part of it, right? I'm asking for help. I'm asking Enrico for partnership. I'm asking you for partnership because that's what it takes. It takes a village.
So there's two things you said and two different impacts. One was a solo, I want to make that 9 figures. Yeah. The other one is, how do I empower 1 billion people and enrich their lives or make their lives better?
So how do I make the 9 figures?
Is
by empowering the 1 billion people.
Exactly. And that's, you understand that and you know that you need other people to do that. I think a lot of people do need to reflect on their goals to make sure that they're not selfish or they're not made too selfishly, because you're never going to get there. You're never going to reach it.
I believe we're always selfish, but in a sense that you want to I selfishly want to get to nine figure. The fastest way to do that is to help other people get there.
And align your visions and ambitions with others. Everybody can selfishly rise together. Right.
Exactly.
Let's bring it all in. The accountability partner or the buddy you're finding, how do you find somebody to mentor each other that you can be a partner with? How do you find that person?
I think it's based on the goal. So what goal are you looking at? Is it a personal goal? Is it a business goal? Is it a career goal? And then trying to match that person. You look at business or career, and I always look at that, the mentor, right? Who is the right mentor for me? Who do I look up to? Who is it that I go, you know what? I really trust this person. And I want to build a relationship with that person so that I can start learning from them, kind of experiencing what they're experiencing and sharing that. And then when the personal, it's like for me, I rely on my friends and family. I'm an open book. I'll tell my friends and family, hey, this is my goal. This is what I want to do. I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to this. And I think when you share and you are an open book in that way, people are there to support you. At least that's how I feel. So both from a career perspective and a personal, it's just creating that circle of positivity and friends and family and mentors that are on the same path and know your goal, because you've clearly articulated what is that goal and what are you going for.
So to summarize, it sounds like everybody's very aligned in knowing when to say no. It seems like it's easy for all of you guys to know what to say no to. And it's not that you don't get marred or struck by indecision because of these clear visions and support and people and community and how you surround yourself with the right people to keep your sanity too. None of it is a solo. None of it is really selfish because you're going to end up alone if you're truly selfish and you don't surround yourself with people.
I love what you said about it takes a village. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not always easy. It's not always clear. It's not like I have answers to everything, but you go back to your friends, to your peers, your mentors, and you say, and they work you through it.
You're buying on the vision, right? Yeah. If you're doing something, if you don't tell someone your vision, how the hell do you think that vision's going to ever come to fruition?
You're going to be stuck with frustration, too.
Yeah. It's just going to magically happen, and actually it does almost always happen. It's just you end up being one of the people that was like, I had that idea.
Yes.
And we've all heard those people say, we all know.
But they never spoke up.
I didn't have the money, or I didn't have the time, or I didn't know the right person.
Yeah.
It's like all those things tend to work themselves out. Yeah. If you take vision, you communicate it, and then you have to execute. You can't just have a vision or an idea and then just go make my vision happen. It's like, yeah. No, you have to sit down. You have to lay process. You have to put structure in place. You have to take the time to define it and put the vision board together.
Yeah. Take risks. Risks. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, doesn't yeah. Come, doesn't, there's, it's not free of charge. Yeah.
And overcome fear.
Fail forward.
Everything you want is on the other side of fear.
Mm-hmm. And be comfortable with failure.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's a big piece of it. It's okay to fail.
Defining failure or knowing that there is no failure.
Correct.
Right. All lessons.
I don't know what failure means.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. We could keep going. But yeah, that's that. And I'll end it with this. I wouldn't be a rapper right now, and I wouldn't even be here right now if I didn't overcome that fear. And I'll be on stage later today performing the 8-year vision rap, all because of talking about, I don't like to always bring it back into the rap thing, but who rapped for accountants? What is that even a thing? it wasn't a thing, but you can make it a thing, right?
I remember when we talked about it, you're like, I love this thing. I want to rap. I'm going to find a way to do it. And I was like, dude, do it. And you're like, some people are going to think it's crazy. Or they don't get it. I'm like, if you love it, man, just do it. And then you just kept talking to people about it and talking to people about it and talk and then practicing and putting together. And it's been fun because I've watched you achieve your vision and your goal from the sideline and see it go from being just a concept that people love to shoot down ideas and visions. And you just kept pushing it. And then you talk to more people. And then, someone was like, oh, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity. And then doors open. And
so when you had, the false start in this event that we're here at AI Unchained if you guys had it last year, I wouldn't be performing this rap because I was not even doing that last year. I mean, I just had the idea for it. So it was dope. No. Thank you guys all for joining us.
Techniques and phrases, premier cool sleek presentation, elevation through delegation, elimination of new temptation. Why am I so busy? Why did I say maybe? I'm starting to worry, my calendar is crazy. Now I'm getting nervous, still trying to be perfect. Work hard and determined, it's safe to say I learned to say no. Nah, dismiss the need to please and say no. Matter of fact, ain't leading to your goals, just say no. Next request you get with no regret, just say no. Next inquiry, please don't be upset, just say no.
Thank you, students, for listening and joining our class today. Peace out.
That's a wrap.
Peace out.
Yeah.
While you're here, don't forget to follow us on Spotify or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may be listening to us right now so you don't miss out on any new episodes. Share this episode on social media, tagging us at Accounting High. And feel free to leave us a 5-star review, letting us know how the school year is treating you.